Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 6, verses 22 to 40. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me and raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So it's important as we look at this passage that we understand it in light of what happened earlier in this chapter. Remember again, Jesus had fed the 5,000, right? 5,000 plus really, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And second, right before this passage, Jesus had walked on water to his disciples' boat in the stormy seas. And so when we come to this passage then, the crowds are sort of on to Jesus here, at least on the walking on water part. They knew that Jesus hadn't gotten to the boat. We're told this right here in the passage. They knew Jesus did not get into the boat with his disciples. And when the crowds of people come and they find Jesus in Capernaum, they ask Jesus, like, "When did you come here? How did you get here?" In a sense, we're told there, they put two and two together here. "We know you didn't get into that boat with your disciples, and yet you're here so quickly. What happened?" They're on to something here. And Jesus does his normal Jesus thing, and he doesn't answer them directly. Instead, he starts teaching and talking with the crowds here. Now, note here that at this point, Jesus had a huge following. Right? If Jesus was like church planning or he was trying to start like a movement right here, this is the time that he could like really solidify his base. He could rally everyone, motivate all of them, capture their hearts. And he could essentially just say, "Come join me in victory," and like take over the whole nation right at this point. But Jesus doesn't go there, right? And in this passage, he's not, in a sense, helping that cause of gathering a crowd. And so we get a sense, we'll get more of a sense of it in tomorrow's passage, but in a sense, the stuff he says here is all challenging, and he's confounding them in some ways. And so the first thing that Jesus says after these huge crowds are coming to him is he says to them, "You're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." What he's saying here is that you're not seeking me because like you want more signs from heaven or signs that I'm God. But you're here because you ate your fill of the loaves. And what he's implying here is that they're not here to seek Jesus or to seek God. They're here because their stomachs are full. They're seeking Jesus not for something like eternal or glorious. They're here because they want to satisfy their own desires, their human, their earthly desires. And so then in verse 27, Jesus says, "Don't work for that kind of food. Don't work so that you can just fill your stomachs. don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, right? Seek something eternal, not something that perishes. And so then the crowds reply, what must we do then? Like, what do we do to get to do that work? What's that work of God that we need to do to have something that's eternal? Essentially, they're saying, what do we have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus simply replies, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And this is actually it. This is actually a very important thing. And it's something I hadn't really thought about till reading this passage, preparing this, is that this is the work of God. This is exactly what we are called to do. All the people, the crowd here, and even us today, is that we believe, that we trust in the one that God has sent. We trust in Jesus. This is the answer. But the crowds, that's not enough for them. Then they're saying, and then they say in verse 30, like, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? They want proof here. It's like, prove to us that you are from God. Why should we put our faith in you? Now, that's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Because Jesus just fed these people, 5,000 plus people, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they're still asking for more proof. And what's interesting is verse 31, they mention Moses pretty much. They're saying, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. It was literally bread from heaven. Like, that's what they ate from. And they're basically saying, Jesus, can you do that? Like, can you give us bread from heaven like that? It seems that the crowds, they weren't understanding what Jesus had been saying. And he was just said, don't work for food that perishes. Yet here they are. They're asking for more of the food that perishes, because manna was not eternal. Manna came down and it would rot and spoil, all just like other bread would, even though it was from heaven. They're asking for more miracles here, not for the sake of their faith, to trust in God more, but for, again, it's for their stomachs. And they want to see if, Jesus, can you be like Moses? Can you give us bread from heaven? And Jesus replies, essentially, that he's not Moses. It's like, I'm not Moses, guys. And even Moses, he didn't give you that bread. It was my Father, the Father in heaven, who gave you that bread. And he tells them that there's something that's way better than manna. There is the bread of God. And he says it's a he, right? It's a person. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's what he's telling them. That's the real bread, is the person who will give life to the world. And the people, you know, they don't understand this probably. And they're saying, give us this bread always. Like, give us that. That's the kind of bread. If that's what it is, give us that bread always. Like, right now. We'll take that right now. And then in reply, what Jesus says, he says something that is really huge. He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. In the Gospel of John, there's 7 I am statements, and we won't get into this too much, but biblical scholars are pretty certain that there's a very intentional structure to the Gospel of John around these 7 I am statements. And these I am statements are important because every time Jesus says one of them, he's declaring something very important, deep, profound about his identity, his divinity, what he came to do. And in this passage, Jesus is saying, I am God, essentially. I am the bread of life. I am the one that God has sent. And then he says, I'm the bread of life, and if you have me, you will never be hungry, nor will you ever be thirsty. And Jesus says here, he's basically saying, I am the one that God has sent. You need to trust in me, follow me, and you'll never hunger or thirst again. And he says later on in this passage that if people look upon the Son, look upon him, that people do the work of God of trusting in the Son that Jesus has sent, they will have eternal life. Jesus is telling them he is the one they've been looking for and waiting for and longing for, and he can satisfy all the desires of their souls. Yet at the same time, he's rebuking these people in verse 36, because he says, you have seen me and yet do not believe. They had seen Jesus do miracles. They had been fed by him. by the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they still weren't believing. And why was that? Because what they were concerned about was their stomachs, their desires, their wants, their perceived needs. And they were not seeking or longing for something greater, for something eternal. And so when it comes to us then, the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we like the crowds? Like, do we really like believe that Jesus is the bread of life, that in him we will never hunger or thirst if we have him, like that we'll find satisfaction for our souls? Or are we like the crowds in that we are just concerned about our own desires and wants and needs, and that we're concerned with earthly things? And that's a challenge for us, right? Because I think when you're in the church, when you're serving in the church, even you have an understanding that, oh, Jesus is God, Jesus is good, and we're following him. And yet these temptations of the world, our own stomachs even, they kind of lead us away. And it just leads us to a place where we feel like we need to have that hunger satiated, that thirst quenched, as opposed to bringing our deep hearts before the Lord and asking that our lives, our existential needs be satisfied completely by Jesus, the bread of life. And so let's come to Jesus today and let's ask him for a greater faith, a greater experience, understanding of how great and good and satisfying he is. And let's pray that we can turn away from the earthly things. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that you are the bread of life. And we pray that in you that we will find all of the desires of our hearts be satisfied. And we pray that we won't be like these crowds that were concerned about their stomachs and their needs, their own wants. But we pray that we can lay all of those down and find that in you we have the joy and the satisfaction, the contentment that we need. Help us, Jesus, to find that life in you. Jesus, overcome our own temptations, and I pray that we will experience the goodness of an eternal life with you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In